Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise, to worship, and to honor you. Lord, I ask that you just open our hearts and minds, that this morning may be something that brings you glory and not us. Father, we thank you for the offerings that you provide. May we use it for your glory. And Father, may we just lay aside anything that we're holding on to. And may we just give it to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and worship.
Amen. I love this. I think maybe we need to do it a little bit more often than once a year. You know, this is that moment that we set aside every service to pray for those who don't know Jesus, to lift them up, because we know there's people in our community who don't know who Jesus is. There are people that are walking around with no real understanding of what Jesus did up on the cross for each and every one of us. And sometimes it can feel intimidating to go talk to somebody. Sometimes it can feel intimidating to share the gospel message. But there's one thing that we can always do, even when they're not being receptive of the conversation, we can pray for them. We've been given this ability to go straight to our Heavenly Father and pray. And may we never take that for granted. So what I want us to do inside of this moment is I want you to think about those three people in your life that don't know Jesus, and I want you to pray for them by name. But here's the kicker, and I want to really push on this again. Don't just pray for them this morning. Pray for them every single day of the week. Take a little card, put it someplace where you remember it, in your bathroom mirror, in your car, in your wallet, wherever that you will see it daily, and have take a moment and pray for them, because we know Jesus transforms lives. And we know that he makes all things new. And no one is too far gone from coming into a relationship with him. So at this time, what I want us to do as a body is to take time and pray for those people in our lives. Pray for those that don't know Jesus, and let's do that together. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the honor and the privilege it is to not only sing out Hosanna, God saves, but the honor and the privilege it is for us to come to you, to lay our burdens down at your feet. Lord, we have this great opportunity to come straight to you, not through a middleman, but right to the throne room of heaven. And Lord, this morning we know our friends and family that don't know you, that are walking around blind. And Lord, we give them to you. We know we can't save them, but we know you can. Father, we lift them up by name inside of this moment. You know their hearts. You know their desires. And Father, that you can turn their lives around no matter where they're at. Lord, we hand them to you. And we pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Continue.
and I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures of fame are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. Satisfied here in your love. Come on, sing it out now. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Without hope, without light, till from heaven you Father, we declare this morning that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are worthy to be praised. Father, we say thank you that we can just worship you. We know what's coming, but for this morning, we just say we worship you. We give you all the praise. So, Father, we say thank you. Thank you. You are a good, good Father. Amen and amen. You guys may be seated. At this time, I'm going to invite the children to come up. Come on up, kids.
Come on up. All right. Let's have a seat. Yeah. Wow, we got a lot of them this week. Wow, look at all of them. All right. Yes. Good morning, boys and girls. Who could tell me what we celebrated back in December? Does anybody remember what we did? Yes.
Palm Sunday.
Nope, last December.
Christmas.
Christmas, that's right. Yeah, we celebrated Christmas. That is when we celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ, right? But next week, what are we celebrating? Easter, right. Yes, Easter, we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead after his dying on the cross for our sins on what we call Good Friday. These are very important things that God did for us. First, showing his love for us by first Jesus being born. Then Jesus died on the cross for our sins, rose again 3 days later, which is very important. But you know what Jesus told the apostles in John 14:6? I don't think you do, but I'm going to tell you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It means that to get to heaven and be with the Father, we have to believe that Jesus was born, died on the cross for our sins, and rose on the third day. Jesus did all this for each and every one of us here. It tells us in Acts 16:31, Paul was in jail after being beaten and tied up with Silas. They were praying and worshiping God when a big earthquake happened and all the prison doors were opened. That had to be scary. I know I would be. The prison guard was afraid that Paul and Silas had gotten out and wanted to kill himself, but Paul yelled at him, "Don't harm yourself. We are here." The guard was so happy because they were still there and asked Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" This is because he had heard Paul and Silas preaching and praying, right? It says that Paul told him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and his household, and they believed. So boys and girls, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Believe in Jesus. Believing in Jesus is the only way. If you have done that, great. If not, or you want to believe, then talk with your parents about it. To remind you about this, I want to give you something. What is this?
A cross.
A cross, right. This is a little keychain cross. What you can do with it is hang it in your room or place it on your table where you do your homework to remind you and your family what Jesus did for this. So I'm going to give each of you one of these, but you have to meet me at the water fountain after the service. And I hope you enjoy your Easter and hope to see you all here again next week. Thank you. You can go to your seats.
Amen. Well, good morning, church. love it. Well, good morning. You know, it's good to be here this morning, and I want to take a moment and thank you guys and thank Pastor Kerwin for allowing me to have last week to rest after the few weeks that we had leading up to it. It was much needed and much appreciated. I also want to take a moment this morning, and I want to welcome all of our guests that are here with us this morning. And those of you joining us online and the radio, we are thankful for each and every one of you. But before we dive into the message that we have this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we give it to you. Father, may we find comfort in your words. May we find instructions for our lives. Lord, I ask that this morning it is your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, I pray if anything is said that is not of you, that it may fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, we pray that it penetrate even the hardest of hearts. Father, that we may grow, that we may learn, and that we may strive to be more like you in each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, this morning kicks off what some call Holy Week, and what's often referred to, and this morning is Palm Sunday. That's why we had all the little kids come marching in with the palm branches and just coming around in the beginning of service. It's the start of the final act of what Jesus came to do. It's his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on the way to the cross. It's a story that we can find in all four of the Gospels. You know, the different Gospel writers, they emphasize different things of Jesus' lives. And sometimes some of them mention it, or two or three of the books mention it, where in other times not everything was mentioned in each single book. But the triumphant entry, they thought was so important that all four recorded this moment. On top of that, Palm Sunday is a really rare event in Jesus' ministry. And I say that this morning because it's the first time that Jesus allowed a large crowd to publicly proclaim that he was the Messiah, that he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That he allowed them to publicly proclaim that. You know, throughout Jesus' ministry, over and over again, he always told somebody after he had healed them, after he had restored their lives, or did some kind of miracle, what did he always say? He said, "Go and tell no one," because his time had not yet come. Yet in our passage this morning, we see him allowing them to publicly cry out that he is the King of Kings, that he is the promised Messiah, that he is the Messiah that was promised all those years ago. And Jesus did this because he understood that his time was now limited. He understood that the time for his final act had come. Jesus was heading for the cross. And I wonder sometimes, how did Jesus feel inside of that moment? How did Jesus feel when everybody was crying out, Hosanna to the highest, knowing full well that by Friday, they would be yelling, crucify him? I wonder how the disciples felt, seeing Jesus being welcomed by the people in this moment, the excitement and the joy, only to see the crowds turn on him on Friday, wondering what might become of them as they watch Jesus stripped, beaten, and bruised, as they watch Jesus be hung on the cross, having this overwhelming sense that it's over, that all their hopes and dreams were dashed in that single moment. The person they had left so much to follow was hanging on the cross. Their hearts had to be heavy in that moment. They didn't realize Sunday was coming. They didn't realize that he was going to rise up out of that grave. You know, as we read through the stories of the Bible, as we read about the disciples and the early church, as we read about Abraham, Isaac, and Moses, as we read about Esther and Ruth, I think it can become so easy for us at times to forget that they were ordinary people that God called to do extraordinary things. We can forget that the people had real human emotions, that they had fears and joys that they had to face. We can forget about the joyous and hard times that they had. We can forget that they were humans too. They had hopes and dreams. They had things that they would go and pray to God for. And they had to trust God in their circumstances. That through all of those things, they're no different than you and I. You know, by the time Jesus came onto the scene, the Jewish people had been waiting thousands of years for the Messiah. And it had been over 400 years since they had their last prophet. They were having to trust God in their circumstances. They had been waiting thousands of years to see God fulfill a promise that the prophets had told them about. You guys ever feel like it takes forever for God to answer your prayer? Can you imagine them generation after generation holding on to this promise? This promise that there would be a Messiah from the line of Abraham and Isaac, that the Messiah would be an offspring of King David, that he would be a king, that he would be divinely appointed by God, that he would clearly speak God's word and lead his people. The prophets talked about how when the Messiah would come, the blind would see and the deaf would hear. It talks about how the lame would walk once again. The prophets talked about how he would be a savior of the world, a blessing to the whole world. And this was something the Jewish people were longing for. This is something that Israel was waiting for, their long-awaited Messiah, their long-awaited king. Yet in this moment of history, they found themselves captive once again, though this time not by Egypt, the Assyrians, or even the Babylonians. No, in this moment, they found themselves captive to the Roman Empire, who had stripped them of their national identity, who had made them subjects of the Roman government, and they were looking for freedom. They were looking for a man like Moses that would set his people free. They were looking for a king like David that would be their king. And then came Jesus, a man who spoke in such a way that no other rabbi or teacher did. When he spoke, people looked and were like, wow, he speaks with authority. He speaks with one with the might of God behind him. He was a man who showed mercy to those who needed mercy. He was a man who showed grace to those who needed grace. Jesus was the man that fed the hungry and healed the sick. He was a man that made the blind see once again and the deaf to hear. He was a man who could clear the leopard spots and cause the lame to walk and so much more. In fact, Jesus did so much more that it tells us in John 21, verse 25, it says, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if every one of them were written down, I suppose not even the world itself could contain the books that would be written. And when they witnessed all of this, when they witnessed Jesus and his earthly ministry, the people began to question, could this be the Messiah? Could this be the coming king that was promised all those years ago? And they begin to watch. They begin to hope. And they begin to pray that this man could be that king of Israel. And of course, they had their own understandings of what this king would be. They had their own hopes and desires. You see, the people were focused on the physical, not the spiritual. They were hoping for an earthly king. They were hoping for Israel to be its own nation once again, one where Rome was not in control. And that's where the people are at by the time we get to our passage this morning. The people are looking for a king. They are looking for their Messiah. And many in Israel believed that Jesus could be that very king. And as the Passover drew near, they began to look for Jesus. It tells us in John chapter 12:12-13, it says, "The next day when the large crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took palm branches and went out to meet him. They kept shouting, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.'" Now, this festival was the Passover feast, one of the most popular festivals in Judaism. It's also only one of three that require a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate. It was not something that you would celebrate at home. It was not something that you would celebrate in your village. No, you would go to Jerusalem for this particular event. And the crowd of people going to Jerusalem was a large crowd. The roads would have been clogged with pilgrims coming from every direction, coming far and wide to celebrate the Passover feast. And let me tell you, we're not talking hundreds. We're not even talking thousands of people. Okay? Josephus, the Jewish historian of the time, actually estimated the crowds at that time at over 2.5 million people. This was not a small crowd. Just think about that for a moment. The atmosphere had to be crazy. And if you're an introvert, this was not the place you wanted to be inside of that moment. But Jesus was in the middle of it all. Jesus was in the middle of all of this, walking into Jerusalem. On top of that, when the people heard that Jesus was coming, it tells us there in verse 13 on the screen, what does it tell us? That they left the city. They left the city to come out and to meet him. The people were so excited about Jesus coming that not only were the people traveling into Jerusalem, the people were coming out of Jerusalem to meet him there. They were ready to proclaim him the King of Israel. They were ready for that new kingdom to start. And when it talks about bringing out palm branches, this is very significant for us to understand, because at this point in Jewish history, palm branches actually signified the nation of Israel. Something new I learned this week. They actually signified the nation of Israel, and it was also a symbol of joy and thanksgiving. They brought out their palm branches, waving in excitement, because they were joyous and excited. Their king had come. And the people started to shout, "Hosanna," meaning save now. Hosanna. The king had come to save them. The king had come to save them. And in their minds, this was a conquering king that had come. A conquering king that would free them from the shackles of Rome. Little did they understand. So they began to hail him as the King of Israel, the one they thought would restore their nation to its former glory, not understanding what he was about to do was more glorious than anything here on earth. They completely missed the words of the prophets, turning a blind eye to Jesus' real mission. And when they realized that Jesus was not going to fulfill their hopes and dreams in the way that they desired, what did the people do? They turned on him. You see, they expected Jesus to come as the conquering king, as an earthly king. But Jesus came in as a gentle king. He came in as a lamb. It tells us in verse 14 and 15, it says, "Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.'" You know, John's account doesn't go nearly as deep as some of the others into the story of how the disciples went out and got the donkey. They went up and they found it and they brought it back to Jesus. You know, when the disciples went and told somebody the master needed it, but he made sure to reference the fact that Jesus rode in on a donkey because he understood that that was significant in this event. You know, often when a king came into a town or a place, especially a conquering king, he would ride in with a chariot or a war horse, right? He wouldn't just come in with a lowly donkey. He would come in with the chariots, a war horse. He would come in with hundreds, if not thousands, of his men leading the charge, looking mighty as ever. But Jesus rode in on a donkey, humble. And he fulfilled the scriptures of the prophet Zechariah in that moment. You know, the prophet Zechariah reminded the people that the king of Israel would be a humble servant, that he wouldn't necessarily be exalted onto a throne as people wanted, but he would be lifted up on the cross to make a way where there's no other way. Yet the people missed it. They missed what Jesus was doing. They missed the point of his ministry. They were so focused on themselves and what their wants and desires were that they completely missed the message that Jesus had given them up to this point. You know, we may wonder at times, how did the people miss Jesus after everything they had seen and witnessed? How is it possible that the crowd could go from one moment of hailing their king and celebrating Jesus to just a few days later crying out, "Crucify him"? They had witnessed all the miracles. They have witnessed all the different things that Jesus has done. And they missed it. And we wonder how they missed it. Well, it's no different than the world that we live in today. People often miss Jesus in the world today. They often miss him. And the reason that people miss Jesus, well, there's many different reasons. There's many different reasons. One of the reasons, if we're honest with ourselves, if we as Christians are honest with ourselves, one of the reasons that people miss Jesus is us. People who call themselves Christians. The reason many people miss Jesus today is because of those of us who call ourselves Christians don't do a good job of representing him to the world around us. You know, as Christians, we're called to be the light of the world, right? We're called to be the city on the hill. We're called to take God's love with us out to others that they may see Christ in us. The Bible says that we are called to be set apart from the world, to be in it but not of it. Meaning we are to be in the world but not act like the world. You know, the Bible says that we're called to take a new nature, that of Christ, that the old is gone and the new is here. That we should influence the world, not have the world influence us. But too often, we look no different than the world around us. We live the same lives as the world around us does. We approach business and relationships in the same way that the world around us does. We wonder why we see so many young people walking away from the church at times. It's simple. It's because they can't see a difference between a Christian and the rest of the world. We're not always being his hands and feet. We're not being his eyes and ears. We're not being his heart. And I know that doesn't apply to everyone. There are people who faithfully try. But as a whole, this is what the world sees. Another reason that the world often misses Jesus is because the church has gotten timid. We don't want to ruffle feathers. We're scared of what others may think or say, or if we stand for the truth of the Bible, we're unwilling to bear our cross. We have watered down the gospel to the point that we no longer call people to live a holy life, one that brings honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. Instead, what do? We simply say this prayer, here's your Bible, and you're good to go. Basically, here's your golden ticket. And there is no expectation of a transformed life. And what we've done by doing this,
as we're getting ready to head into Easter, the greatest message ever, the greatest reward we could have ever had is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. As we're getting in there, the reason I'm saying this morning isn't because I'm trying to take a baseball bat and knock people around. The reason I'm saying this morning is because this is important, because we need to make sure that we're creating mature believers in Jesus that understand what he's done for us. That it isn't just about saying yes to Jesus one time and then living life as we've always lived it. You know, what we've done by this simple prayer and then moving on and nothing else is we've created a bunch of babies in the faith that have no real understanding of what it means to be a fully committed follower of Jesus. Yes, they know that Jesus loves them. Yes, they know that God forgives them, but what they don't know is that God expects a transformed life out of them. One word, they don't chase sin anymore. That when sin comes knocking, they get on their knees and they pray. When sin comes knocking, they open their Bibles and they search for what God's word says. That when sin comes knocking, they remind the devil that they've been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. They've been bought and paid for already. That they are not who they used to be, but they have been transformed into the likeness of Christ. And it's our job as mature brothers and sisters to walk alongside them and to encourage those who are still babies in the faith. That when life comes knocking, that they can constantly look to Jesus. And we're called to do all of this with grace and humility and to do it with love just as Christ loved us. Always pointing people back to Jesus so that they may point others to him. That they may look different than the world around us. That they may become mature followers of Christ. That others may want what they have. We wonder where the church and how people miss Jesus today is because we're not developing mature believers. We're not developing people who fully are in with God. We've watered it down. The entire reason that the people missed Jesus when he was coming in is because they had their wants, their desires of what they wanted the Messiah to be. And so many people, when they come to Jesus, they have their wants and the desires of what they want Jesus to be, and they're never trained up to see who he fully is. And I want to challenge you all this morning a little bit. And this challenge is for the young and for the old. This is for the mature and the babies of the faith. This is for every single person sitting here this morning. I want to challenge you this morning to find someone who is more mature than you in your faith. Someone who's further along in their walk with Jesus. And I want you to ask them to disciple you. And that's scary. But I want you to go looking for that person that will help encourage you to grow in Christ. Ask him if you can borrow an hour or two of their time every other week to be intentional about helping you grow in your relationship with Jesus. It doesn't have to be a Bible study. It can be sharing life struggles. It can be sharing what's going on. You can ask for advice. You can walk alongside. You can make a trip to Walmart if you want, because you all know we need Jesus when we go to Walmart. But the point is to be intentional about helping you grow in relationship with Christ. But I'm going to add one more layer to this challenge this morning, especially as we're getting ready to go into the Easter season. I want you to look for someone that you can disciple. Someone that you can invite along for an hour or two every other week to do life with. Someone that you can be intentional about helping them grow in relationship with Christ. And I know for some that can be a little scary, like, Pastor, I don't know much yet. I don't know a lot about Jesus yet. I'm still a baby myself. Guess what? There's always someone that is further behind than you, just as there's always someone that's further along than you. Every one of us are called to be disciple makers. And I have resources and tools. I will help you if that's something that you desire. And I'm going to tell you right now, each and every one of us have been given the gift to be able to do this. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to do this. We have to remember that growing in Christ is not something that happens overnight. It's something that takes time. It's something that takes effort to seek him daily. It takes time and effort to become a mature believer in Jesus. It's not something that we're intended to do on our own. Somewhere we've gotten this idea that our faith is just for us personally. It's meant to be done in community and with others. That's why God has given us his word. That's why God has given us his Holy Spirit. And that's why God has given us each other, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to help mold us and shape us into who he's called us to be. Because we can't do it on our own. We all have room to grow. There's a reason he says it's not good for man to be alone. That's why we are a body of Christ. It's not an individual thing. It's all of us coming together. You know, and at times it can be hard to wrap our heads around this stuff at first. Even the disciples didn't understand everything at first. In fact, it tells us in verse 16, it says, his disciples did not understand these things at first. However, when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that those things had been written about him, and they had done these things to him. You know, the disciples had spent all that time with Jesus. Jesus even told them that he was the very Messiah. And he watched, and they watched all of his miracles, and they heard all of his teachings. They had front row seats to everything Jesus was doing. And yet they didn't fully grasp everything Jesus was doing in the beginning. They didn't fully grasp what Christ came to do. In fact, it wasn't until after his ascension that they began to fully understand. You know, even after Jesus went to the cross, died, and was raised 3 days later, this is something that always makes me chuckle just a little bit. They still asked Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time? They still thought Jesus was making an earthly kingdom in this moment. And this is where Jesus took the time to reiterate everything. They had a misunderstanding of what Jesus' mission here on earth was. And it wasn't until they fully surrendered to Christ in his mission and not their own mission did they begin to fully grasp what Jesus was doing. And I want to encourage you as I invite the band back up this morning. If you want to see the world around us to start to be transformed, it starts with us. It starts with us representing Christ well to the world around us. Being the light of Christ to the world around us. Being the city on the hill. It starts with us picking up our cross daily and stop being timid about the gospel. To call people not just to say a prayer, but to repent of their own way of lives and turn to Jesus. It starts by us actually doing the Great Commission to make disciples that make disciples, so that we may have mature believers that represent Christ well to the world around us. Because the world is going to have all types of ideas of Jesus. And once we have mature believers in place representing Christ well, you'll see more people wanting to continue in their growth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, I thank you for your words. I thank you for your son, Jesus. Father, I thank you for each person here. Father, may we come together as a body of believers, young and old, babies and mature. And Father, may we represent you well, that the world may not miss you, that the world may not see us as the world, but they may see you in us. Lord, may you do a new work in us. May you restore us. May we be that light that you've called us to be. City on the hill. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand.
They're on a cross.
to shake, and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens roared? All hail, King Jesus! All hail, the Lord of heaven and earth! All hail, King Jesus! All hail, the Savior of the world. There was a moment when the sky lit up, a flash of light breaking through.
Represent him well, that we may not miss what God is doing in our midst and in the lives of the people around us. so that when others see us, they see Christ in us. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.